Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
A sad time and a glad time and an early happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 29th and 30th. Sad time. Tog season ends, draws to a close. Well, the storm, that sort of put the kibosh on it. It was a good three and a half week blast with blackfish this past April. Great fishing going on. And again, a happy new year to all in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. We know when a season opens, indeed, cause for a new year celebration. This Tuesday, May 2nd, the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke season, opens. And joining us in our next couple of segments is Peter Clark, marine biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries. He's also the artificial reef coordinator. Talking the prospectus for the summer flounder season and a couple of hot reefs, some back bay stuff, but a couple of hot reefs that Pete says will be giving up some nice numbers of summer flatties. And just a reminder, May 6th, Atlantic City Solar Anglers Fishing Flea Market. Shout out to Leon Jachinski there. When Leon started this group years ago, he was one of the first guests on Rack and Fin Radio. He said, Tom P., I have good hopes for this. And, man, I'll tell you, he has just ignited a fire with the anglers in the Atlantic City area. It's going to be at the Egg Harbor Township Elks Lodge, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 1815 Summers Point Road in Egg Harbor Township. Hey, check this out. You want to exhibit, tables are free. Yeah, you heard that right. Again, shout out to Leo. Good move on that one. They're going to have food there. The bar is going to be open. It's going to be a great time. Some great deals and everything going on. And a tournament coming up, too. It's a fifth annual American Angler Classic Surf Fishing Tournament, Sunday, May 7th on LBI. It's an individual, adult, youth, and friendly family. I like this. Carl Hartman, good job on it. Getting the family involved. Thousands of dollars in retail fishing prizes and gift certificates to be won. Simple rules with free. Check this out again. Free 4x4 permit for the day on 2 miles of beach. The area is going to be fishing is the Brant Beach area. Whew. Man, the stripers, man, they're starting to go bonkers along the beach. Fresh clam, man, is the dealio. Now, it's 27s for adult anglers, 15 for youngsters, 17 and under. PayPal, Venmo, and check are accepted. Go to www.AmericanAnglerUS.com to get more details and also to get an application. Hey, the 2023-24 migratory bird season information and seasons are out. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for all the information there. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. The Brant Abbott, I haven't hunted those things in years, but Canada geese, it's still good, but plenty of ducks out there. Hey, it's week four of the in-season trout stocking. Now, the numbers in South Jersey are definitely dwindling because, again, warm water conditions, trout don't survive, so they usually stop at about the fourth week. Okay, coming up now, this coming Monday, the Toms River, the South Branch of Manitidiaconk, and the North Branch of Manitidiaconk are going to be stocked 530, 500, and 320, respectively. Also, this place just got stocked Friday, and they're doing it again. It's packed with trout. Bring the kids, people. Pack on Lake. They're on Route 9 in Tuckerton. They're putting in another 480 on Monday. Now, Thursday is the magic day this coming week. The Cohansie's going to get 160. The Morris River, 330. Gloucester City Pond, 100. Southwest Branch, Rancocas Creek, 180. My fave, the Pond of Lodge Pond down here in the Villas, 370. And Tuckahoe Lake, 420. So plenty of trout fishing opportunities going on, and don't get me going with the largemouths, man. That bass bite is intense. Ditto the pickerel. Okay, coming up, Pete Clark, let's talk summer flounder, man. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
At the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, we are working now more than ever to fill the emptiness caused by hunger. We are the state's largest anti-hunger organization, and together with our 800-plus community partners, we are committed to delivering food, help, and hope to our hundreds of thousands of New Jersey neighbors in need. We couldn't do it without your support. Please go to cfbnj.org to donate today. That's cfbnj.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Opening segment, hey, one season closes, another one opens. Todd closes tomorrow, Sunday. Flounder, a.k.a. Fluke, opens Tuesday, May 2nd. And for what I'm seeing is from some incidental catches in the back bays, Great Bay, Barnegat Bay, and also down in Great Egg Harbor Bay, there are a lot of Fluke moving into the back and coming in from offshore, going to be hanging on the reefs. Joining us right now for a prospectus on the 2023 Fluke season is Peter Clark, fisheries biologist in New Jersey DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and Pete is also the New Jersey Artificial Reef Program coordinator, and also, I will add, a Fluke angler extraordinaire. And here he is on the line with us right now. We're going to talk Fluke for the next couple of segments. As I call you Admiral, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Tom. Thanks. Appreciate you for having me.
Hey, Pete, I mean, wasn't it just we were talking about Tog back in November? Whoa, is the time flying.
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you what. And not to mention, you know, Tog season was pretty good down in South Jersey during the spring there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, things are looking good in New Jersey, right? We got striped bass all over the beaches starting to show up, right? They're in the bays. Now they're starting to show up out front. So, a lot of opportunity for our guys.
Pete, how does it look, the biomass summer flounder? I mean, population's looking good. I know the regs are the same as last year, two at 17 to just under 18 and one over 18. How's it shaping up? Pretty good?
Yeah, so the population's still in very good shape. It's strong. Honestly, what we saw was, first of all, it should be noted that we are under a new management scenario, right? So.
Yep.
We're using a thing called the harvest control rule. That was part of a new addendum. And within that rule, we had several, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, or the ASMFC, as everybody hears them called, they were given several options on how to implement a management strategy for both summer flounder and black sea bass. And what they chose for 23 was what's called the percent change rule. And now what that means is you basically follow a cooking recipe to figure out what your regulations are going to be or what your move is.
Uh-huh.
And your listeners are well aware that we thought we were going to have a 10% liberalization. And then we found out a few days before the meeting that the National Marine Fisheries Service, who developed and is running this model for the percent change rule, updated their model, and it said, nope, actually you got to take a 10% reduction for 23. So we went to the board and figured out, like, so which is it? Is it we go up 10%, we go down 10%? Who checked all this data, who went through and asked you to update the data? And the long story short, Tom, we found a status quo agreement for this year until we can get some of these answers of the whys, wheres, and hows on this model exactly, and results in what you said, May 2 to September 27.
That's two fish,
17 is less than 18, and one over 18.
Hey, that's a nice long season, too. I don't mind that at all.
It's not. You know what? And I think the season length is great. We heard, right? We all heard about this slot, right? And I'm not sure what to believe. I think most people have said that it worked out well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Those even the naysayers have said absolutely not. And we all know how it goes, right, Tom?
Sure.
When it was 18 inches and three fish, yeah. Everybody was complaining about that. We need a 17-inch fish. So, okay.
Absolutely right.
Right. So we provided our council with the option of a 17. They chose it. They chose it. And now I think it actually worked out. And, right, the science, okay, the science has shown us that. So we all talk about, well, how many fish do I have to catch before I get a keeper, right?
Right.
And so now here's what we found over, like, so take it back to 2018, 2019. It was about 11 fish to one keeper. You'd have to catch 11, then you'd get a keeper. We saw in recent years, you'd have to catch 9 fish to get one keeper. Last year, you caught 7 fish, and then you got a keeper, right? So okay. My point being that your discards are decreasing, right? The amount of fish that you're catching and throwing back, that's decreasing. And when that number decreases, the amount of dead discards decreases,
right?
And that's a win. As far as conservation goes, as far as population management goes, that in itself is a win. So I don't think it's all bad, all right?
Pete, I think it's for my end, I think it's a win-win across the board for the times I fluke fish. I'm primarily a bay guy. I'll do hit some in the surf, and every once in a while I get invited out front. But we had plenty of flounder fillets in the freezer last summer into the early fall. So it worked fine.
And I think it does work out great, and especially for the back bay, right? And that's where everybody's going to be targeting on Tuesday, opening day. It's like trout for me. It's like opening day for trout season for you, right?
Yeah.
It's a big day. We're all going to be looking at that, that warm water, which is, I've heard all the way up 62, I think I saw. I was out in the Mullica a couple days ago, and it's warm, right?
So yeah, Pete, we had 63 the other night casting poppers along the sedge banks in Barnegat Bay up by LBI. So water's perfect.
Yes, it is. Prime, as we like to say, right? It's prime for the picking here for these summer flounder coming up on Tuesday. So looking forward to it.
Okay, Pete, the movement in the back will last how long, that migration?
You know what? That's going to last until the bottom water, the bottom temperature out front is still about 49 degrees on the bottom. All right. Now I think that's probably going to warm up pretty good until, I would say, by the end of May, June, something like that. We're going to start seeing them out front on some of our South New Jersey inshore pieces. And then, of course, it's going to just ramp up from the beginning of June into July for the rest of the sea.
Pete, I know your ace is offshore, especially on the wrecks, and we're going to get to two artificial reefs. Those are that Pete wants you to key on some new deployments there. But Pete, in the back game, are you doing super light tackle or what?
Yeah, I mean, you want to keep your rigs light, everything's, because what are we fishing in? Less than 10 feet of water, real skinny stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
So a lot of my buddies are kayaking in 4 feet of water and just wailing on it.
Yeah.
Real light fit, right? Yeah. So yeah, keep it all light, light, light.
Now, Pete, you are basically rigs or bucktails and gulp?
I like bucktails and gulps. Yeah, keep that thing moving. Find those nice skinny pieces on the outflows of some of your creeks in the back bays. And there's so much good area. Look, New Jersey is a very fortunate state with the back bay fishing. We've got
Great Egg,
Little Egg, Barnegat Bay, all going down south in the Delaware. It's got just incredible pieces of bottom for fluking.
Pete, on the overall in the back, say to see the migration kick back in May, if there's a prime time, like say 2 week period, you figure the first 2 weeks of May, last 2 weeks of May?
Yeah, you know what? That's anybody's guess. That's certainly my guess, Tom. I have no idea. I know I'd be out there on Tuesday looking around trying to get a feel. And you mentioned it. My sense is that those things are already snapping because I'm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm,
oh, yeah.
Not that anyone's looking for them right now, but there might be some incidental catches already.
Yeah, Pete, I heard of some incidental catches. Hey, guys getting bucktailing with little gulps on the back or Mr. Twizzlers, looking for weak fish, picking some up down from Sea Isle down to Stone Harbor, Pete. So they're out there. We're up against a break. Joining us on the line right now is Pete Clark. He's the New Jersey Artificial Reef Coordinator and Marine Biologist, DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries, talking summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke. We'll be right back with Pete. We're going to be talking a couple of reef sites and tactics on there. Pete is the flat. He doesn't catch doormats, people. He's the area rug ace. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Yeah, I've been screaming and shouting with the fishing and the turkey hunting coming up here. That's where my voice is shot. Weekend of April 29th and 30th. Join us on the line is Peter Clark, fisheries biologist, New Jersey DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and the New Jersey Artificial Reef Coordinator. He is the man, the one, the guy. Well, Pete, now as the staging it and they start to move out, where are these summer flounder going to be keying on? I mean, are they going deep? Are they looking for any kind of structure, anything in particular? Any reefs in particular you want to mention?
Right, right. So these things are all piled up in the bay in May, right? They're already in the bays now. We know this, right? So come the opening of the season, early May, even into the very early part of June, we're going to find them in the bays, but they're going to start moving offshore, and naturally they're looking for structure, right? So this is where our reefs really come in. For all these estuarine fish that are utilizing the estuaries earlier in the spring, they come out onto our reefs and they settle in because our reefs are giving them such a great opportunity, not only for habitat, right? So places to hide and ambush, because that's what fluke are. They're ambush predators.
Yep.
They're hanging out in some of these little pieces, these low pieces, and they're ambushing prey as they come through. So, for example, Tom, Barnegat Bay, huge estuarine system. It's got great back bay fishing, incredible back bay fishing. What happens when they come out of the inlet is they're going to hit Barnegat Light Reef. Okay. Now, you know I love up and down fishing, bottom fishing for togs, sea bass, things like that. And when I'm doing that, I'm looking for these super high pieces. I want high. I want, you know, big chunky structure. When I'm fluking, what we want to be looking for, Tom, is the lower stuff. You know, the things that you're barely seeing a scratch on the bottom. If you find a high rock pile, I'm looking at the edge of that. I don't want to be buried in the middle of a rock pile for fluke. I want to be focusing on the edge. So Barnegat Light Reef is one of the best reefs for this type of fishing. What we all know is, you know, drift fishing, okay? Now, a lot of guys, we see it all the time, right, Tom? You get onto a reef or you get onto a piece somewhere to fluke fish, and the guy will throw a piece of squid on the bank sinker and drop it in the rod holder and grab their sudsy beer, right?
Yeah. He said that for my benefit.
You know, fluking is an active endeavor, right? So we're bucktailing, we've got our gulps on, we're really focusing on these edges, right? These low-lying pieces. And as we start our drifts, we're keeping that thing moving, just slightly off the bottom. We don't need to be. That's one of my biggest problems is burying it in the bottom and bouncing it off the bottom, bung, bung, bung. You know, what we really want to do is be swimming it just like you would. You know, you talk about paddle tails and things and your shads, your swim shads. You want to swim that right off the bottom and get this ambush predator called summer flounder to come out of that cover and, you know, boom, bang your offering to them. And so that's the way to do it. We're providing that tasty morsel for them.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this, because I've seen videos on both, and I was surprised that, because, again, I was always, man, they come out, they see it, they hit it. You know, some people, that bucktail, that paint's not good, it's chipped, the fluke aren't going to hit that. They're going to go by. They're not going to say, oh, we're not going to hit that because there's a chip in the paint, whatever. But I was surprised, Pete, at the videos, how far a summer flounder will tail and chase a bait until it finally hits. my impression was from the 99% of the hits I get, it seems like, boom, they just shot off the bottom or came out of somewhere and nailed it. But they will follow a beta distance, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all see these videos, right? You go on to YouTube and you look up these summer flounder fishing videos. I was shocked. The first time I saw one, I was just like you. I was like, oh, they're coming out of the bottom.
Boom,
they
yeah.
They go over the top of their two eyes and boom. But they're tracking these baits for quite a while, right? You know, again, we're not talking about a half an hour, an hour long drift, right? I tend to be a real short drifter, 10 minutes maybe, something like that. Because once I find that productive bottom, I'm just going to keep pounding it until the bites drop off, right? Short drifting it. Then I'll move on to the next piece. And I might cover, you know, a few reefs in a day when I'm out fishing.
Yeah, but now the aggressiveness on the fluke, again, the earlier season, they're bulking up. Pete, is it a scent thing, a sight thing, a combination of both? Yeah, you're drifting, and then all of a sudden the bite happens when you, okay, let's hit this piece again. We didn't get a hit. Let's give it one more shot, and then bada bing, bada boom, they're back on it. So what do you think?
Yeah, look, it's just like everything, right? You know, what's the tide doing? What kind of tide do we have? How hard is it running, et cetera? So my fishing tactics always sort of are predicated by that. How much weight, you know, I don't really like using real, real heavy bucktails. So sometimes I'll be upcasting, I'll be working that jig, that bucktail back at me on the boat. Right? So I think, you know, yeah, they're definitely a reactionary bite. You know, that we always hear like you got to annoy these fish. You might put it in front of them, but you got to work that bait, that lure, and annoy them. Get them to get mad at it and hit it if they're not already aggressive.
Pete, any kind of, again, always it seems that, you know, all the different structures, muscle beds, shell beds seem to really attract these fish, do they not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, some of these pieces that we've got, your metal barge. So I love a metal barge because for fluking, because it's low lying, it's typically pretty flat, and exactly, it grows muscles, right? We see a lot of muscle growth on that type of a piece. And those things, they're all over that stuff, right? So, yeah, plus there's so many little fish, critters, eating those mussels that they're trying to get on top of. Some of the best fluking, though, I'll be honest with you, are those old subway cars.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
Locate those, fish the top of them, bong, bong, and then start swimming that fish, that bucktail on the top of those. Bingo.
I'll tell you, Pete, the way these, they're like me. They eat anything. I've examined fluke stomachs, you know, fillet, and I find myriad. It's like there's nothing underwater that a fluke at least won't try to eat. I mean, crabs, shrimp. I mean, but a couple of things you can't even identify. So again, like I said, opportunistic feeder. Something goes by that looks or smells even remotely edible. If they're in the mood, they're going to give it a shot. Correct?
I agree. Yeah. The diversity in their stomach contents is remarkable, right? So typically they're keen on certain types of natural baits, these small fish and things like that. But, yeah, they've been known to eat crustaceans and all sorts of other critters that are out there.
Pete, once, and it was down in Great Egg Harbor Bay, my mother's eyes, I swear, I'm flaying a fluke, and it looked like a piece of the quill and everything, like a piece of bird feather. Go figure that. I said, wow.
How about that? Yeah. Well, it's like when, you know, you hear these stories of goosefish or monkfish, right? Monkfish, and they're also called goosefish eating birds, right? So
that is possible. Well, Pete, when in this time frame can the fluke prove non-aggressive, like a sudden influx of cold water, you know, southeast winds? What's the deal?
Yeah, right. A general rule of thumb, Tom, when that south starts blowing, it's such an abrupt drop in water temperature. Right, because what happens is the south wind blows and it shears the surface water and allows that northern cold water, Labrador current water, to slide under. And the temperature just plummets really quickly. That will typically shut off a bite. However, all right, now I used to think if it's blowing south, don't even bother. But I've found recently, over the last couple of years, that if you've got a slight south breeze, right, we're not talking about heavy cracking winds,
right,
but a slight south breeze sustained for a period of time, this one can be pretty good. I've had some of my best bites,
wow,
of course, in the northeast, but I've also had some of my best bottom bites on that light, continuous south. So, yeah, who knows, man? Right when you think you got it all figured out, something like that.
Joining us on the line is Peter Clark, fisheries biologist of New Jersey DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries. And Peter is also the New Jersey Artificial Reef Program Coordinator. Pete, we're up against a hard break coming up. Let's talk about some new deployments on, Garden State North and Barnegat Light 2-2 prime summer flounder spots. Go.
All right, so we've got a group that's been working with us recently over the last several years, Beach Haven Charter Boat Association. John Lewis has been instrumental in getting a lot of funds raised by these folks. I mean, you know, we're talking over $50,000 by doing different fishing derbies, raising money at boat shows. Anywho, so he's been buying reef balls. And we've been deploying them all up and down his preferred reefs. So Barnegat Light just got a load.
Nice.
Garden State North just got a pile of them. We're slated to put another pile of them at Garden State South. It was supposed to be in April, but I went down to Florida, so now we're going to do it in May. And looks like a tugboat is going to end up on Little Egg, if I'm not mistaken. We've got a tug going on Little Egg.
Nice.
So we've got a bunch going on, man. Yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be a good year. I'm looking at 10 deployments this year. Anything from a 45-foot tugboat and reef balls. All, we got 135 tugboat coming to New Jersey to one of our deepwater reefs. So, yeah. Good year.
As I maintain, the greatest artificial reef program in the universe is right here along the Jersey Shore. Well, Pete, before I let you go, I got to bust you on this one. When you are banging around these wrecks, reefs, structure, when you're hunting your area rugs, doormats, whatever, I know you're dragging the big gulps, your most productive color. Go!
Pink.
Sink the pink AC/DC fly on the wall. Pink is it, man. Peter Clark, thanks for joining us on Rack of Him. By the way, yes, I'm going to sandbag Pete. He's far enough away from me. He can't kick my ass. We have the sea bass prospectus coming up in a few weeks, Mr. Clark. Let's rock it. I'm going to put you in a computer right now. Is that a dealio?
Yeah, I'll do that. Absolutely. I am a sea bass fanatic. Love him.
And we'll see you, Pete. Thanks much for joining us. Have a great and safe opening day summer flounder. You take care. Best of the family.
Thanks. You too, Tom. Take care.
We'll see you, brother. Peter Clark gets it done. Great guy. Fantastic and aggressive angler. I mean, have we seen him out there? I think he goes out of Shark River. Oh, that's Clark over there. He's over there. He is the reef master. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
I'm Chris DeMeo. Congressional lawmakers are raising concerns about how a U.S. adversary like China could be using artificial intelligence to rise on the world stage.
We need to make sure we are being smart about our approach to it, to make sure that it is used for the right purposes. But we need to be clear-eyed that they will use it as a weapon against us for their military, for their economy. They have that goal of being the dominant superpower by 2049, and they will use this technology to get there.
Congresswoman Ashley Hinton on Fox's Story with Martha McCallum. Democrats and Republicans continue to spar on inflation.
I think Republicans are incredibly united on the three key principles that we got to limit government spending, we got to save taxpayer money, and we got to grow the economy. We're willing to negotiate with the Biden administration to do just that, but he's got to come to the table.
Congressman Brian Stile on Fox's Your World with Neil Cavuto. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight will be windy with on and off rain, some heavy, the low 53. Saturday, occasional rain and drizzle. It'll be breezy in the morning with a high Saturday of 62. Saturday night, we'll see low clouds with occasional late night rain and a low of 53. Periods of rain Sunday becoming heavy. It'll be breezy in the afternoon with a high of 65. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, that was Pete Clark. I call him the Admiral, Captain Pete Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries Biologist, Artificial Reef Coordinator, Fluke Angler Extraordinaire. Gave us a good prospectus for the upcoming season, which opens Tuesday, May 2nd. Right now, very special guest. We would love to welcome to the Rack and Fin Radio Universe, Courtney Wozniak. She is the Vice President of Marketing and Advertising for Cara Specialty Baits, a.k.a. Fish Bites. We want to talk these two dynamic baits that were introduced last year and really made an impact. And so far, it's tough to find them. The pegs, they fill them and they're empty. The Fight Club, the 5-inch grub and the 6-inch grub, which we think are going to be absolutely dynamic again for the summer flounder season. Courtney Wozniak, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Congratulations on a new position.
Thank you so much, Tom. I'm so excited.
The really impressive thing, people, the way, from what I understand, this young lady beats on the doormats and area rights, and Courtney put it very succinctly, quality over quantity. That is my game. So, Court, I'm going to be calling you off the air to ask for some summer flounder tips, especially early in the season in the back bay. So you better answer the phone when you see my cell number. Is that a dealio?
You keep me on speed dial.
Okay. Court, to the Fish Bites, the research behind them in that, the Fight Club, is it a, you know, listen, you know the Fish Bites have a new blue crab strip thing, they have clam, they have whatever. The Fight Club itself, is that an entirely different formula, similar formula? What's the situation with that?
So it's a different makeup as far as what the material is. The science behind it, Dr. Carr spent years on. And so that really the science behind it, it's the 1-2 punch of flavor and scent. And that technology does run through all of our baits. The Fight Club specifically is an impregnated, basically, mold. And it's all a hydrogel mix. And so what really sets us apart is the fact that all of that scent and flavor is injected directly into this bait. So it just melts away in the water.
And they say a scent trail, correct?
Scent trail, yep.
Well,
they key in on it, and they just can't resist it.
One of the most salient features that I found last year and this year, I'm sure this year is going to happen, talking to guys on the party boats, the big fluke hunters out on the deeper wrecks and whatever, the strength, the toughness of the material. Now, when you say it melts away, the first thing you think of, it's soft and gooey. But no, these things really take a beating. In other words, this is what I'm talking about. The tails don't get torn off as easily. And that makes a big difference. Now, is that part of the chemical structure itself? The mold? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's really part of that like hydrogel mix that we have. Mm-hmm. It just makes it super tough, much tougher than a lot of other scented soft plastics.
The trial and error period on the Fight Club SKUs, how long was that?
I mean, we've had them in the hands of anglers for years, and they've really been doing great, you know, in Florida, all along the East Coast. And, you know, we're, you know, introducing them, you know, even more and more now in the Northeast. And we're just seeing, you know, explosive growth. And so, you know, we're just really excited about it.
I know at the shows, I what was it, the Saltwater Expo? Listen, they ran out of baits at the booth. And they had, is that true? You guys had to ship up more, like overnight or something?
100% true. Yes, we had a Scott came up for that expo, and he sent us pictures. He's like, you wouldn't believe the lines here. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm running out of baits. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the show. And yeah, so we put in an overnight order to him and got it right up to him. So it's. Again, it's exploding. We're excited.
Join us on the Rakuten line today is Courtney Wozniak. She is the Vice President of Marketing and Advertising for Carr Specialty Baits, a.k.a. Fish Bites. Courtney, choosing, I mean, because sometimes you see too much of too many, color patterns especially. What, I mean, you're set with how many colors? Let's say the 6-inch grub, for example. How many colors? Is there talk or ideas of expanding more or sticking with what works?
Yeah, so we started with the 5 core colors. So it's going to be your standard white, chartreuse. We've got a pink. We've got some with some sparkly bits in it. Mm-hmm. And we also came out with one last year. It's more of like that orange salmon color.
I saw that, yep.
Yep, so we've got 6 colors now in the 6-inch grub.
Are there plans for more? It's not like you can't meet demand now. It's like tough to meet demand now, so...
I can assure you that we will constantly be innovating these baits. So
okay, let's get to the applications. Now, the 5-inch grub, back, I noticed it has a flat bottom as opposed to the round form of the profile on the 6-inch. Why the flat bottom?
Well, so honestly, you can't rig these incorrectly, right? The flat bottom was really meant so that it can just glide against any of those sandy or muddy bottoms.
There you go.
Okay. I have a lot of anglers that also do the ridged side down because they think that it creates a little more action in the tail. I mean, you can't go wrong with this.
Whoa, rigging it upside down? That's pretty cool. I didn't think of that.
I'm telling you, it works.
Yeah, now the 5-inch I'm sure will work out front, but again, the 5-inch was designed basically for like a back bay application, correct?
Yeah, I typically am fishing these in a little bit shallower water, and that's really just because I'm targeting those sandy or muddy bottom areas.
Now, you bucktailing them or put them on a plain jig head?
I'm typically fishing these on a plain jig head. These 6-inch grubs, though, amazing on a bucktail. Amazing. That's a great trailer.
Exactly. That's what I'm hearing. Again, listen, especially the guys and also on the party boats. Like, I don't want to mention some of the boats that no newbies. I mean, these guys, they have their 20, 25 hardcore fluke guys that go out there. And I saw these baits getting passed around, and the other baits caught some fish as well. Don't get me wrong, but Gordon, just to be totally upfront with you, some of the guys, aren't these the guys that make those worm things? You know? And they tried them, and 2 boats out of Belmar, 1 out of Point, and then I think 1 out of Cape. Absolutely, the guys, hardcore flukers, Wozniak, were absolutely amazed. So it's a win-win all around.
I don't doubt it. Yep. You put that on a bucktail, it is really hard for a fish to resist that. The action in the tail that flutters up in the water, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there other Fight Club baits in the mix? Do you have a paddle tail?
Yep, we do have a paddle tail. It's called the Butt Kicker.
It's called the what? The Butt
The Butt Kicker. Plus, we name all of our baits after, you know, fighters. You know, so we've got the Butt Kicker, we've got the Brawler, got the Dirty Boxer.
What's the one I saw?
What
the hell's a white? Was it a white knuckler or something?
Yep, white knuckle. It's the color.
Now, the paddle tail is what, 4 or 5 inches?
4-inch paddle tail.
4-inch. So, again, perfect for back bay applications, correct?
Perfect.
Now, what about...
Tail.
it's going to be a tough one to follow, but do you have a shrimp?
We do have a shrimp, yep. It's called the fighting shrimp. It's a 3.5-inch shrimp. It's got a really nice flutter in the little legs when you flutter it up in the water. It's an amazing bait. Caught fish all around the world on it.
Mary, Mother of God, these flatties have no chance. I mean, this is going to be crazy. We're speaking with Courtney Wozniak. She is the Vice President of Marketing and Advertising for Carr Specialty Baits, a.k.a. Fish Bites. Your position in the industry, Courtney, it's growing, it's expanding. So big plans for the future, or just riding out the status quo now? And don't take this in the wrong way, just trying to meet demand. What's the dealio? And I know Mike and Terry and that whole crew down there, balls to the wall, but doesn't it get to the point where, yeah, let's just see what we can keep up with? How's that work?
Yeah, so the growth has just been exponential, really, over the past, I would say, 2 years. And so, obviously, to meet that demand, the company is growing, right, which is, you know, where my position came in. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep charging forward. We're going to keep expanding and growing. We're getting into international markets now. So it's just a really exciting time for Fish Bites right now.
Okay. Well, Courtney, again, okay. Congratulations on that, I say promotion, big time in here. Now, your duties, marketing and advertising. That's, I've been in the industry a long time, and that's going to be a non-stopper. How's it going so far?
It's going great. It really is. I couldn't be with a better team, to be honest with you. You know, expanding into the international markets is something that's really huge, and I'm extremely excited about. But yeah, I've been doing marketing and advertising for a long time, and now I just get to do it in the industry that I love.
Nothing personal here, Wozniak, but you sound like you're 19 years old. You've been doing this how many years?
that I am not, sir. I mean, I've been fishing since I was in diapers. So
that is great. Again, listeners, again, how refreshing. They're not. And nothing against these. Don't get me wrong. They're not golfers, pickleball players, that type of thing. They're actual anglers. Well, Courtney, real fast, before I let you go, that piqued my interest. You say the international market, Europe, the South Pacific, South America, whereabouts?
Europe, New Zealand, Australia.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. You got it down. People want to find out more about the Fish Bites Fight Club. Where do they go?
Go to fishbites.com, and then you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Courtney Wozniak, it was an honor having you on Rack and Fin Radio. Congratulations again on the new position. Listeners, this is she's already on track, a power player in the fishing tackle industry. We wish you the best of luck. We'll see you at one of the shows.
Appreciate you, Tom. I'll see you soon.
And by the way, if I'm down in North Carolina way and there's an opening, the fluke bites on, yeah.
Like I said, keep me on speed dial.
You take care, Courtney. Be good. See you later.
Thanks, Tom.
Dynamic, and from the reports I had, she is one hell of an angler, which is great. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Going to close it out with Rack and Fin Radio next segment. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Did you know Atlanta County has been recycling for more than 35 years? Recycling is an easy and important activity you can do every day to help the environment. ACUA reminds you to recycle metal cans, glass jars, cardboard, paper, and plastics with the numbers 1, 2, and 5 inside the recycling symbol. To help keep the successful system going, never put plastic bags in your curbside recycling container. And please rinse off food residue. To learn more, visit ACUA.com or call 609-272-6950.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, back for our final segment, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We have April 29th and 30th. Hey, I can't wait, man. Monday, and this coming Friday, we will be in the Turkey Woods. I know it's time of year, man. I'm like a paramecium. I'm just stretched in so many different directions. But now, remember, a couple weeks ago, we had on Luke Mbali from the National Wild Turkey Federation. He's the president of Jersey State chapter, and now he's the head of the council, whatever. Talking about the habitat. It's graduated from Save the Habitat, Save the Hunt, where the habitat creation of it, improvement of it, is so important for wildlife in general, not just the target species, pardon the pun, but just for wildlife in general. There's a nice project going to be happening, I guess, next week with the New Jersey chapter of the American Woodcock Society in partnership with Fish and Wildlife. A little bit of habitat improvement project, a reclamation of some fields down there on the, that's down in Cape May. I deer hunted there a few times. That is some tough stuff on the Dennis Creek Wildlife Management Area in Cape May County. Good friend of Rack and Film Radio on the line with us right now is Mark Dreyfus. He is the president of the New Jersey chapter of the Jersey Shore chapter, rather, of the American Woodcock Society. Mark, how's it going, man? You guys have got some ambitious stuff going on, little brother.
Hey, I'm doing good. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I just I'm intrigued with the work that's going on here, especially down there the Dennis Creek area. I just love the habitat down there. Hunting is tough, but it's just beautiful country. What do you have planned going on?
We got a Habitat Project Day going on Sunday, May 7th. This is going to be our third project that we've been doing since 2021. We try to put a project together each year with Fish and Wildlife. So this year what we're going to end up doing is we're always working on woodcock habitat stuff in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And partnering with Fish and Wildlife. What we have is they hydro-axed about 6 acres of property down there, and
beautiful.
We're just trying to create that edge that all animals like, right? Deer, turkey, mm-hmm. Woodcock too, come in, find that edge. And basically the area's got hydro-axed, and we're going to come in behind them and plant about 100 northern bayberry seedlings, and trying to create that staggered growth, man.
Well, I'll tell you, my history down there, we're living in the Ocean City area and, you know, Dennisville area around there, especially that first blasting nor'easter, usually around November, tremendous woodcock hunting down right through into December. In fact, I remember one year, I think it was the day before Christmas Eve, or mid-90s somewhere. Check this out, Dreyfus, 72 flushes of woodcock. Just a big storm
That's
had
pretty
come
sweet.
Down. And I remember running the boardwalk in Ocean City and finding what are they? Like they're hitting the wires, hitting the railing. So that whole Cape May area is a woodcock haven. But again, as habitat progresses, gets older, it does fall out of favor with some of the species, correct?
Well, yeah. What happens is things get old, right? Not you and me, but things get old. So, you know, anything can grow up and come back in 10 years. And really what we got to do is kind of a trim and a second cut regeneration. If you've been down in that area, you know it can grow wild and woolly and thick.
Real fast.
If you've been down there, it sounds to me like you paid your dues with the green briars and the thorns. So
let me tell you
know
something.
What it's about.
Drive, let me tell you something down here. Everything, it's like in South Texas, people, everything in mid to lower Cape May County wants to impale, slice, or otherwise just rip you up. And you come out of there, I mean, it's a tough hunt. I mean, some of the swamp or rabbit hunts we do down there with Beagle. Oh, man. You like I said, Dreyfus, you pay your dues. Now, how long has the Jersey Shore chapter, rather, of the Woodcock Society been around and some other projects you had?
So we started this chapter probably about 3 years, and what's a little different than normally what we do is the American Woodcock Society is the Rough Grouse Society. They're a sister organization, but really what happened was we're dedicated to American Woodcock habitat being here in South Jersey. We just got wild birds here and migration, and mm-hmm. some residents. We found some hatchings too, right? And that stuff. And we've been doing about 3 years. We started the chapter in March 2020. 2021, we had our first habitat project over at Prosper Town Lake area.
Well, 537. I know that area well, yeah.
Yeah. We started over there. And then last year, we did a project down in Salem River, WMA, down off 295. And, you know, we've been involved with partnering with New Jersey Fish and Wildlife for probably about 15 years. We had a Pine Barrens rough grouse chapter that went back, and we did some of that original project partnering over in Monmouth County, Assunpink. So we did a lot of good stuff, and we just kind of regrouped 3 years ago and put the band back together, and we're having fun.
This is great. Very active group, listeners. It is the Woodcock Society and the Rough Grouse Society. Well, Mark, again, I understand to volunteer to help out with this project next week, you need to be a member, correct? And how does someone do that?
Yeah. We're still in New Jersey, Tom, so we got to have insurance, and we got to have you covered under the group policy. We're going to be working, you know, out there with tools and stuff. So the easiest way is to go to roughgrousesociety.org, the website. Mm-hmm. And right at the top, you can join or renew your information. We're pretty active on Facebook also. So if you do a search on Jersey Shore Woodcock, you're going to find us. You'll find my contact info in there. You can reach out to me to see if you're an active member. If you're not, we can get you signed up. Also on that roughgrousesociety.org website, there's a chapter area. If you go look for chapters, and you'll find our contact info there. And the more the merrier.
Mr. Drivers, we have to close it out. And I know you're a very, very, very extremely active. How's that for keeping it going? Timberdoodle hunter. Jersey Woodcock hunting, come see, come saw, stable. What do you think?
You know what? Every year it changes. A lot of it is migration, right? When the winds are blowing, when the weather's going. I think it's still pretty good. I think there's a lot of opportunity in New Jersey. There's good habitat out there. Habitat makes the birds come in and land.
There you go.
If you got a hunting dog and it's something you want to do, it's still available. To me, really, it's probably the last wild upland bird we got here in New Jersey in good numbers, right?
So, there you go.
And you don't see a lot of competition, not a lot of orange in the woods when you're poking through those greenbriars.
Yeah, listen, let me tell you something. I read all the books, old sports and fields. The corkscrew upward rising of a woodcock. That's BS, man. Those things rocket off the ground, and they're in between the trees and briars before me, anyway, before I can even get my 20 over and under. I'm like, where the hell did that thing go?
Well, that's it, man. You know, part of the joy for me is I have Brittany's, and
beautiful,
I like
dogs,
pointing, and that just that majestic lockup and that kind of stuff is magic to me. Then you walk in, you get the flush, and as I'm getting older, I need to kill less of them. I just like the dog work, but, you know, I like putting them on the grill and making poppers and stuff like that.
For my culinary end of things, pancetta with bacon was created for woodcock. Oh, yeah. That is just... Well, Marky, take care, man. Hope to see you guys soon.
All right. Thank you much. I appreciate all your help.
You got it. Bye. That will do it for this week on a Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy gnarly weather, but it should be fine for the Fluke opener, Tuesday, May 2nd. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.